Hello everyone. As we start, perhaps you could grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 12, where today we're going to read from verses 27 to 43. Now, I'm fully aware that there are some really horrible names in this passage, names which are almost impossible to pronounce, so just skip over them if you like. Then once you've read the passage, we'll begin. What do you do when somebody in your family, particularly a child, has a birthday? You have a party. You celebrate. So, are there ever times in the church when we should celebrate? Are there ever times when we should have a party? Of course there are. We shouldn't spend all of our time in celebration, but we should certainly celebrate things. And what kind of things do you think we should celebrate? Well, of course, we should celebrate God with us, as we do at Christmas when we remember the birth of Jesus. And we should also celebrate the resurrection, when God in Jesus defeated sin and death for us. But what else should we celebrate? In our Bible passage, we hear that the remnant, those that were left after the exile, were celebrating. What was it they were celebrating? They were celebrating a great accomplishment. The walls of Jerusalem had been rebuilt. And you know, it's perfectly okay for us to celebrate accomplishment. For instance, we do this ourselves. At the end of October each year, we have a celebration. We celebrate the founding of this church. We celebrate that we are still here as a church, participating in God's mission to the world. And this morning is a celebration too. We've made it through this part of the storm. We're beginning to gather together again. Now, I know that we're not all here today. I know that we can't all gather together at one time right now. But the fact that we can start that process feels like a celebration, or at least it does to me. And the question is, how are we supposed to celebrate? Well, there are all kinds of ways of celebrating, aren't there? Some good and some not quite so good. This morning I thought we'd look at a godly celebration and see how that works. Now, you're going to have to use your imagination with me this morning to see what was happening here in our passage. Remember, the remnant, these people that had come back from exile, had just rebuilt the city walls. And this wasn't just any old wall. It wasn't just the sort of little wall that you put at the bottom of your garden. This was a real wall. For a start, it was 2.5 miles around. And it was up to 8 or 9 feet thick in many places. Then, as well as the wall, there were gates and there were lookout towers. And how long did it take them to build this enormous wall? They did it in just 52 days. What an accomplishment. What a great time to celebrate. They'd planned the rebuilding of the walls, and now they had accomplished it. They'd done it. What an exciting time it must have been to be in Jerusalem. Their enemies were quiet for the time being at least. God's word was being preached. The remnant was relieved and revived and excited all at the same time. Everything was going great. What better time to celebrate? And that's what this passage talks about. In it we see the four components of a godly celebration. And the first component is its beginning. Look back at verse 30. When the priests and Levites had purified themselves ceremonially, they purified the people, the gates, and the wall. So the first component of godly celebration is its beginning. This wasn't just something that happened. This wasn't just some spontaneous event. Like everything that happened with the wall, this celebration took some planning. They obviously organised and planned and promoted the event. But was that the beginning? No, it wasn't. Because the real beginning of the celebration came as the people of God had gathered back together. Do you hear this? Do you hear what I'm telling you? When God's people came back together, that was the start of the celebration. We too are God's people, and we are being called to gather back together again. The celebration didn't begin with the planning. It didn't begin with the outreach. It didn't begin with the social media campaign and the invitations. Actually, the celebration really began with the purification. Purification? That doesn't sound much like a celebration, does it? Oh, but it is. Of course, the purification that the priests and Levites in our passage did was ceremonial purification. They had to ceremonially purify themselves first. Then they ceremonially purified the rest of the people. Then they ceremonially purified the gates and the wall. The point is this. They realised that they had to enter into the time of celebration with pure hearts. Their motives had to be pure. The work of their hands in accomplishing the goal had to be pure. Their joy had to be pure. Their relationship with others had to be pure. Their reasons for entering into celebration had to be pure. And it's easy for us to plan a celebration just because we want to have a good time. Or we can plan a celebration because we want to show people that we can have fun too and that they can have fun with us. We can use a celebration as a means to an end. But is that the right beginning? The right beginning is to enter into godly celebration with a pure heart. Enter into godly celebration with pure motives. So before our celebration can happen, we have to begin with purification. And this place, this church, must be purified from dissent and division. There can be no celebration before the wall is complete. When there are breaches in our wall and piles of rubble in our midst, there is no cause for celebration. Celebration begins when we come back together as we are doing this morning, and it begins with purity. Personal purity as well as corporate purity. So the first component of godly celebration is its beginning. And from the right beginning, we move to the second component of godly celebration. Look at verses 31 and 38 to 39. I had the leaders of Judah go up on top of the wall. I also assigned two large choirs to give thanks. One was to proceed on top of the wall to the right, towards the dung gate. The second choir proceeded in the opposite direction. I followed them on top of the wall, together with half the people, past the Tower of the Ovens to the broad wall, over the gate of Ephraim, the Jeshanah gate, the Fish gate, the Tower of Hananel, and the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the Sheep gate. At the gate of the guard, they stopped. The second component of godly celebration is boldness. Now, this is where your imagination comes into play. I want you to picture with me what they did here. First, let's remember that the wall is up to 8 or 9 feet thick. It's easily thick enough for 3 to 4 people to walk along shoulder to shoulder. Not that I fancy being on the outside in case I fell over the edge, but it's a wide wall, it's a big wall. So here's what they did. Nehemiah gathered all of the people together at the valley gate, which was in the middle of the western part of the wall. Then he split them up into two groups. The first group was led by Ezra. They went up onto the top of the wall and started heading south. Then the second group went up on top of the wall at the same place and started heading north. When the last man of that group was on the wall, Nehemiah brought up the rear. Now picture that for a second. This whole group of people assembled on top of the wall. In verse 31, the King James Version says, two great companies of them that gave thanks. The NIV uses the word choir, but the original word literally means thanksgivings. Two large thanksgivings. What an amazing way for God's people to be known. A thanksgiving of Christians. When God's people celebrate, you know, that's how we should be seen. We should be seen as one big thanksgiving. And that's exactly what happened here. Why do you think they went to all that trouble to go up on the wall? Who do you think was on the outside of the wall? Do you suppose that their enemies were out there watching? Yes, indeed they were. And it was there, on top of the wall, that they chose to celebrate their accomplishment before a watching world. And they praised God at the top of their lungs. Two great, big, loud thanksgivings. And everybody for miles around could see them and hear them. But they didn't just stay in the same place there at the Valley Gate. No. They walked all the way around the wall. Nehemiah's group went in a clockwise direction and Ezra's group went anti-clockwise. And as they did that, they were calling attention to two things. First, they were calling attention to just how small they were. You think about it, how small they must have looked compared to the hugeness of that wall. But not only were they calling attention to how small they were, they were also calling attention to how big their God is. Because the only way for them to have been able to accomplish that huge task of rebuilding 2.5 miles of 8 to 9 feet thick walls in just 52 days was if God did it through them. And as they marched around that wall, they boldly proclaimed that fact to the watching world. Everybody could see them. Everybody could hear their praise, and everybody knew that their God is a great God. This is why when it comes to our great big celebration, we're going to do it on top of the roof. We're going to march all around the roof proclaiming how great our God is so that the whole of Stourport can see us. Yes, I am only joking, of course. But that's the sense of celebration that I want us to anticipate. That's the sense of celebration that I want us to foster. Spiritually, I want us to be marching around that roof. And the third component is bragging. Bragging? Is that what I said? Yes. The third component of godly celebration is bragging. Now, don't get me wrong. If bragging is prideful, it's wrong. If bragging is telling people, look what I've done, it's wrong. But it's not wrong to talk about things that God has accomplished through us in humility. Now, you've got to use your imagination here again. Picture all of those people singing and praising God along the top of the wall. Each group walked half the total distance of the wall. So that means that each person in each group walked around 1.25 miles. What do you think they were walking across in that 1.25 miles? You know, it struck me as I read this. Each of them was walking past the parts of the wall that they themselves had built. So, how do you think they reacted when they walked past their part of the wall? When the sons of Hassanah walked past the fish gate, do you think their chests might have just puffed out a little bit? This is our part of the wall. When Malachijah and Hashub walked over their section, do you think they might have said, hey, that's the part we built? When the people around Zadok walked on the wall in front of his house, do you think he might have pointed it out? Hey, that's my house, and this is the part of the wall that I walked on. And can't you just hear the people around him say, man, Zadok, you did a great job. This part of the wall is going to stand forever. Can't you just feel the joy and fellowship that was going on there? It wasn't a prideful kind of bragging. It was a joyful feeling of accomplishment. The same kind of feeling we get when we say, have you seen our toddler group Rhyme and Rhythm? Or have you seen our fantastic new toilet facilities? Or have you seen our new kitchenette over here? Is that boastful? I don't think so. But it is cause for celebration. We should joyfully celebrate the things that the Lord accomplishes through us. And part of that is recognising those he uses. So yes, there was a little bragging going on. They were bigging each other up a little bit. But do you know what else I think they were doing? I think they were also bragging about their work to their enemies. If you read a little bit further back in Nehemiah, in chapter 4, Their enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah, were taunting them. The people had already started on the wall, and it infuriated Sanballat. But he knew he couldn't stop them by force because they had the backing of the king. So he got together with Tobiah to try to ridicule and taunt the people into quitting. Tobiah laughed at them. Do you know what he said? He said, "Your silly little wall wouldn't even stand up to the weight of a tiny little fox walking across it." You had the last laugh now, Tobiah. Will the world laugh at us? Will the world mock us? Will the world ridicule us? Yes. On occasion they will, if we're doing our God-given job. But when we're faithful to do the work that God calls us to do, we will have the last laugh. And when we celebrate the awesome things that God accomplishes through us, we can brag. We can boast in Jesus Christ. We can brag about what he has accomplished. We can brag on how God makes all of his enemies look silly. Maybe I like this part a little bit too much, but even that part of celebration isn't the best part. Oh no, the fourth component of celebration is the best part. Look at verses 40 to 43. The two choirs that gave thanks then took their places in the house of God. So did I, together with half the officials, as well as the priests, and then all those horrible names, with their trumpets, and also other horrible names. The choirs sang under the direction of Jezrahiah. And on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. This part is the best part. Just look at what happened. Nehemiah's thanksgiving group headed northward, Ezra's thanksgiving group headed southward. And where did they meet? Where did they meet? Are you ready? This is it. They met in the house of God. Oh, folks, where are some of us meeting this morning? We're meeting in the house of God. Are you excited yet? I am. We are being called back together. But notice that it's not like that was the end of their celebration. Oh no, they'd celebrated all along the wall, but when they got to the house of God, it's as if the celebrations were ramped up just another notch. The dial was turned up to 11. What does verse 43 say? How did the singers sing? They sang loud. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like a God-given, joy-making, spirit-filled party. The sort of party that I want to be at. And I would say that the greatness of their celebration was only matched by the greatness of work, of the work that God had accomplished through them. Wouldn't you? So how are we going to celebrate? I'm not talking about having another shared fellowship lunch. I love our shared lunches, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about another church anniversary social, though I love those events too. I'm talking about real, unscripted, joyous celebration. The kind of celebration that begins when God's people return from exile. The kind of celebration that begins when God's people are gathered together again. The kind of celebration that begins with a pure heart and a pure house. The kind of celebration that is boldly in the face of a lost and dying world. The kind of celebration that joyfully brags about what the Lord is doing in and through each of us. The kind of celebration that blows the roof off of God's house here in Stourport. That kind of celebration is what I'm talking about. Are we ever going to celebrate like that? You bet we are. We just have to understand some things first. We will celebrate like this when we understand just what God has done for us, even in the midst of a pandemic. We'll celebrate like this when we understand that God has led us, even right in the middle of the wilderness. We'll celebrate like this when we really understand the depths of our lostness that Jesus has saved us from. We'll celebrate like this when we really understand the boldness of the righteousness he has clothed us in. We will celebrate like this when we really understand the good news he has given us to boldly proclaim to the world. We'll celebrate like this when we really understand the awesomeness of the work he's accomplishing through us. And we will celebrate like this when we really bring all of that understanding back to his house and join together as the people of God. I have to tell you, I spent my whole life in church, and there aren't too many times when I've experienced celebrations like that. But we are God's people. We are the remnant. God has brought us through many tests and many trials, and he will always do so. So why don't we get started as the remnant did in our reading? Let's get on with the job. God has brought us back together again. Let's now accept the mission that he has for us. That mission is the Great Commission. That's our mission. Just as building a wall was the remnant's mission. Let's accept our mission and let's be faithful to do our mission. And as we do, let's just watch what amazingly impossible things the Lord will do through Stourport Baptist Church. Oh, folks, I'm looking forward to getting up onto that roof. I'm looking forward to what God is going to do. I'm looking forward to where God is going to lead us. And as he does, we're going to see that kind of celebration. As we see that happen, God will make us rejoice with great, great joy. We will rejoice. Our children will rejoice. Our children's children will rejoice. And the joy of SBC will be heard from a very, very long way off.